How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4, verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And so the Lord Jesus, he's 30 years old, the scripture bears out unto us. He's starting his ministry. He leaves Nazareth there in Galilee, travels some 60 miles to go and be baptized by John. While Jesus is there, John declares indeed unto those that are there, his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He is the Savior, and John knows that by virtue of the Spirit of the Lord descending upon the Lord Jesus thereat when he came up out of the water and being baptized. It's what God the Father had told John, is that this would be how he would know the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer of whom he preached. And so now Jesus is kind of the final pinning up of the Lord, in a sense. He's going out to be tempted of the devil. And it says there, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights." So from the human standpoint, he's very, very weak. He's been without food for such a long time. He was afterward and hungered. I wonder about this. I wonder, there's no man that could go without eating and drinking for 40 days and 40 nights. Yet our Lord Jesus did. I wonder, did it have an impact on his physical body? Was it a compromising of his body in any way? Was there failure, organ failure and such in his body? I know that the Lord is divine. Indeed, he is without sin. But there's passages in the Old Testament scriptures that the Lord bore our sorrows and carried our griefs. He's afflicted, smitten of God, indeed. And so those things speak of him there on the cross. But I wondered here in his great temptation, the suffering that he may have experienced even in his own body, and how, for the sake of his ministry and the fulfilling of the scriptures, if he didn't keep that body alive for those years. I wonder about that. I'm not dogmatic about it in any way, but I wonder about that. If you and I would fast for 40 days and 40 nights, no food, no water, it would kill us. I mean, it would kill us, but it didn't kill the Lord Jesus. He's got the power, as he proved, and his crucifixion, even over his own body. He was a hungered, and the tempter, that is Satan, came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And so here's Satan coming and doing what he's best at, casting doubt, tempting the Lord Jesus right here at the greatest point of temptation, his hunger. He said, "Command that these stones be made bread." Now, the Lord Jesus could certainly do that, but not at the directive of Satan, not at the directive of the tempter, not at his directive. Jesus, he answered and said in verse number 4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The Lord Jesus is quoting in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and there, as Brother Moses preaches to the children of Israel, he says unto them that that's what the Lord looked to teach them, that you just don't live by the bread that comes out of heaven, the manna, but you live by what proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. That's what man lives by. And that's what Jesus said. The Lord has sent me to bear this temptation in this time of fasting and such. No. No, I'm not making these stones bread. I'm obeying my heavenly Father. That's what Jesus said. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, Jerusalem, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So Satan takes the Lord Jesus. I believe this is indeed literal. Folks would say, well, did people see him up there on the pinnacle of the temple? There was no need for them to be seen. They could have been there in plain daylight and people wouldn't have seen it. It was not, that's not the point, not the purpose, no reason for us to doubt it. Satan being the prince and the power of the air, and the Lord Jesus having become man, yet being God, allowed Satan to take him there. And he was able to see it. And he could have been there. He could have jumped off. I mean, there was no hindrance in the Lord having done so. He poses to the Lord Jesus to tempt and to try the Lord in this presumptuous way of the Lord's promise. What the Lord said and declared in the Old Testament scriptures is indeed true, that he gives his angels charge concerning the Lord's people, that they by their hands bear up the children of God, and they keep their feet from being dashed upon the stone. It's true, but it's not to be presumptuously pursued. It's not to be presumptuous against the blessing and the protection and help of the Lord. No, that's not to be the right way. Jesus said unto him in verse number 7, it is written again. You notice a pattern here? The Lord is answering Satan by God's word. The Old Testament scriptures. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus can take Satan and squash him anytime that he wants to. But as a man, you know what the Lord Jesus does? When in great temptation and in great distress here of hunger and such, the Lord Jesus answers Satan with the good word of God. That's an example unto us. Again, Brother Moses preached this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and that's what the Lord Jesus gave Satan. You don't tempt God. You don't presume against him. Again, the devil taketh him, verse 8, up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, unto Jesus, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. We see in this account a progression. We see here what Satan works and what Satan does in his temptation. And may the Lord help us and deliver us again from temptation and evil, as he teaches us to pray. Satan says, do a miracle. That's what he says to the Lord Jesus first. Do a miracle. The Lord Jesus resists with the word of God and said, you don't live only by bread you can put in your mouth, but the bread of the words of God. That's how man lives. The Satan tempts him and says, jump off of here. Just fall off this pinnacle of the temple. You know the angels will catch you. Be presumptuous against God. Go ahead and fall. And fall out, lean off of here and fall and trust what God has promised in his word. The Lord says, you don't tempt the Lord. You don't unnecessarily pursue things and claim the Lord's promises in that. Then here Satan says, and takes the Lord up in this mountain and such, and Satan says, all you got to do is fall down here before me and worship me. See how Satan has made it easier and easier and easier? That's what he's done. He goes from do a miracle to just fall off of this pinnacle of this temple to just fall down and worship me here on the ground. And saith unto him, all these things will I give to thee, all the kingdoms of the world, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, there's some that say that Satan didn't have that authority, that he was lying about that. The thing is Satan is indeed the prince and the power of the air. Satan can only work He can only work to the extent of the rope that God Almighty gives him. But he is the power. He is the ruler of this world. And so the Lord can intervene and do anything at any time. That's the reason sinners are saved. That's the reason gospels proclaim. That's the reason the Word of God thrives and is printed and distributed and such as that. But Satan is the authority on the earth, the prince and the power of the air. Listen to Jesus' answer to the Satan saying, just fall down right here and worship me. You don't have to go far. Just down here to the ground. And Jesus saith unto him, verse number 10, get thee hence, Satan, get out of here. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. No, you get out of here. Get out of here, Satan. It's written in the Word of God that the Lord God Almighty is the one to be worshiped. He's the one for us to worship, not you. And he's the one for us to serve. You leave. You leave and get out of here. And then in verse 11, the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto the Lord Jesus Christ, unto him. The temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great example it is to us to have within us the Word of God and to face temptation with the Word of God. It'll be a strength to us and a help to us. Obedience. Obedience is the way that as the children of God we need to go, to follow, to rest in. It's the way of blessing indeed. The Lord knows best, and he's given us all that we need in his Word. And may God help us to hear it and to heed it, to trust the Lord in it and to rest in it indeed. It goes on to say here, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, verse 12, he departed into Galilee. So John is down there at Jerusalem, maybe. It is Herod that he's dealing with. So it could be that John is at Capernaum. I guess that's a possibility. I've never considered that before. John's the Baptist is in prison because he's challenged Herod and the thing that he's done and taken his brother Philip's wife. And so Jesus, when he hears this news, goes into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which was upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. And so here we see that the Lord Jesus went to Nazareth, back to his hometown, and then from there went over to Capernaum, which is there on the north end of the Sea of Galilee, up there near the cities of Peter and Andrew and James and John. And that becomes his headquarters. And it says here that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was Jesus' message? Repent. What do we need to do? What are we called to do as sinners? Repent and believe in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Great light is only found and seen by our Lord Jesus Christ. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954.
by email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.